Bible, Genesis chapter 18. I got 20 minutes to preach a 2-hour-and-a-half sermon, and so don't get excited. Amen. Genesis 18. Some of y'all go watch fireworks for 3 hours. Amen. Well, I'm going to make some fireworks today. Amen. Genesis 18, if you have your Bible. July the 4th sermon, but I think you'll catch on before I get through. Now, I want you to forget about the chicken and the ham and the whatever else you got cooking, or whatever that the buffet line is you go through. I call it buffet line because they're pushing each other around and going through there. And I want you to get your mind on the Lord, okay? Genesis 18. I want you to start with Genesis 18, just for the sake of time, let's start with verse 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me, and if not, I will know it. Now skip down, if you will. Skip down to verse 23. I'm trying to save you some time. You'll read the whole story. Verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Now look at chapter 19. Please go home and read this whole story. You'll miss so much if you don't. I hope you've already read it. Most Christians should already be familiar with it. Chapter 19, verse 27, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. Did you see that? The whole place had burned up. The whole place had burned up. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to help me today. And I do think y'all live in a free country. We couldn't even do this today if we didn't. We have the freedom of assembly. People went to church all over this country today. And thank God for good churches. Thank God for America where we can worship you in spirit and truth. Red, yellow, black, and white makes no difference. Educated, uneducated. And we ask you to bless us today. You said wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, you'd be in the midst. And you'd bless it. So we ask you to do that as you always do here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. And I also pray, Lord, if there be one among us that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, today you draw them to the Savior by your blessed Holy Spirit and give them the courage to receive Him. And then those of us who are saved, God, and we know it. We had that said a long time ago. I pray you'd give us holy boldness when we leave out of here today to save our nation. God, we really need you. Nobody saved Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lord, it may be, there might be one in here today that could turn all that backward on America as it goes down the drain, that you might turn us back. And then whatever happens, we're going to look up to heaven and say, you did it. We're going to give you the glory for it. And is that not what it's all about, that you might receive thy glory? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Most of you know the story. The Lord and two angels were on their way to Sodom. And the Lord even thought about Abraham. He said, shall I not stop and tell Abraham what I'm about to do? He thought a lot of Abraham. Abraham had a testimony. He believed God. Amen. He sold out to God. Amen. And so God stops by Abraham's tent. And Abraham feeds him. And as the angels go on down to Sodom, he begins to talk to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I'm going to destroy Sodom. The things that's happening there has come up to me. It's an awful thing going on. And I'm going to go down there and I'm going to check it out. And I'm going to destroy Sodom. And Abraham got thinking of his nephew Lot, who used to travel with him by faith and then was attracted more by things than he was faith. And he went off into Sodom and Gomorrah, he and his family. By the way, there were hundreds of them with him. And he took them in there and they were absorbed into that society. They were assimilated and absorbed, and they just became part of what was there. And God called it a wicked place. And so then Abraham thinks of his nephew and he thinks of all those other kinfolks that went with Lot. And he said, now, Lord, I don't want to make you mad or anything, but now this is South Carolina English, okay? I don't want to make you mad or anything, but Lord, what if there's 50 righteous people there? Will you still destroy it, even if there's 50 righteous? You're going to kill 50 righteous people with those people? Now, you might not know it. Most people don't know it, but Sodom and Gomorrah were two cities who had grown together. They were so huge, kind of like Charlotte and everything around it. And I've read all kind of estimates. I guess the average I've read is 2 million people live there. 2 million people. Think about that. Within a 5 mile radius of Charlotte, North Carolina, I read the other day, there's now 5 million people. You're part of it. Don't act so astounded. And these people had been assimilated by those people, and now it had gotten so bad that God said, I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham said, now wait a minute, I got family down there. What if 50 of those are right with God? Would you still destroy? He said, I'll spare it. And then Abraham got to thinking about how sorry a testimony Lot had and how he influenced his family. And he thought, well, Lord, don't get mad at me now, but what about 40? What about 40, Lord? Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Will you destroy the place if there's 40 right people, 40 people that's right with God? Would you destroy it? And the Lord said, well, I'll spare it for you for 40. And then he got thinking, man, Lot really had a bad testimony. His wife's testimony is worse than his. And he said, now, well, Lord, don't get mad at me now, but what about 30? And then he went down to 10. He got down to 10. And finally God said, listen, for you, if there's 10 there, I'll spare it for 10 people. Out of 2 million people, I'll spare it for 10 people. Of course, you know the rest of the story. They went down and the people of Sodom tried to sodomize the angels. And they wouldn't hear it. It was a wicked place. And ended up, Lot had no converts. His wife had no converts. His children had no converts. They were even married to lost people. And the angels had to drag them out. And then his wife wanted to stay so bad, she turned around longing for it, and God said, okay, I'll just turn you into a pillar of salt. You can stand right here forever. And the only people saved was Lot and his daughters. And then as they went on, his daughters were even perverted, and they ended up having children by their father because they got him drunk so they could birth his children. That's terrible testimony, isn't it? It's a loving God. It shows the grace of God that He's willing to spare 2 million people for 10 that's right with Him. That a good picture of the grace of God. Amen? It's a good picture of the Christianity of Abraham, that he had such a burden for his nephew and all those related to him. A wonderful testimony of faith of Abraham, wouldn't you say? It's a wonderful testimony of Abraham's faith that he could talk to God like this.
Amen.
And bargain with God. Some people say you can't bargain with God. Yes, you can. Remind him of his love, his grace. Hey, when he's about to whip me, I say, Lord, have mercy on me. I know I deserve it, but could you count some of the good I've done too? You know, help me here, you know. And so it's a great testimony for Lot's faith and the grace of, Abraham's faith and the grace of God and Lot's unfaithfulness. Now, I said all that to say this. Though most people don't see it, because of the divine protection God's given to our country, God has preserved this land.
Yes.
There's never been land like this before. God, there's been more missionaries sent out of this land for Christ. There's been more churches built in this land for Christ. There's been more hospitals and mission organizations built in the name of Christ in this land than any other land. But Christianity is under attack around this whole world.
Yes.
Around this whole world. Most countries now, you're in danger of life, losing your life, if you live for God. A Christian, y'all with me?
Yes.
Live for Jesus Christ. Christians are killed every day. beheaded. They're still crucified, shot. And people by the thousands are being martyred for Jesus Christ. They refuse to deny Him and faith in Him. It's slowly but surely creeping into America. Because of pathetic and apathetic, lazy, carnal Christians, our faith and freedoms are being attacked.
Amen. Yes.
Our godly heritage is being attacked. Now, they teach us that all this Declaration of Independence and all these things were racist and homophobic and all this stuff. But I got news for you. Everybody that lives on the dirt in this country has got more freedom than the freest country in this world outside of this. Yes, there's racism. Yes, there's prejudice. I've experienced it myself. You say, oh, you old rich white man. I ain't all, hey, compared to some, I'm rich. I'm not rich, but, I grew up dirt poor. And let me tell you something. Matter of fact, it's a lot better than it used to be. Though most of you don't notice it, for some reason, our children are being influenced and indoctrinated against America in the Bible.
Yes.
You know what you ought to do? You ought to, and by the way, I practice what I'm preaching. You ought to watch, read, and listen to the things the godless entertainment and electronic media is pushing on your children, your grandchildren. You hand them that stinking phone, you let them go. There's pornography on there. There's all kind of ungodly. I got a book in my office I found in this church that says as racist, and I'm talking about reverse racism. And look, it's full of profanity and ungodliness. I found right here in this building. You say, well, that ain't bad, preacher. You better read the books your children are reading. Have you ever thought of this? Your children don't know any better. And your grandchildren don't know any better. And you hand them stuff that is hard for adults to handle.
Yes.
You'll review every book, every magazine they look at. You ask my wife, we practiced this when my children were growing up. You'll review every TV show they watch.
Yes.
You'll review every movie they watch. You'll review every music, every song, every video they listen to or watch. You say, well, that's saying I don't trust them. You better not trust them. They don't know what to do. That's why you're the parent. Look, you ought to review every phone. If you give them a phone, by the way, I think you'll be old enough to pay for it if you get one. But if you give them a phone, you'll review every message they get. You'll review every picture on that phone. And you young people, you looking at me like, boy, he's ruining my... I'm serious. The children in America don't know any better. They're being influenced by outside sources that you don't even know about. The liberal and the leftists have taken over the entertainment industry. You won't see the Ten Commandments movie made again. They've taken over the entertainment industry. They've taken over the music industry, the movie industry, the plays. They've taken over the prints. They've taken over technology.
Yes.
And most parents don't know and don't really even care. There was a famous communist that said this. He said, we'll never take over America from the outside. It's too powerful. America will be destroyed from the inside.
That's right.
They've done it.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Now, I'm a Christian. I believe Christ first. That's my number one thing. He's my Lord. My president's not my Lord, my senator, my congressman, and all that. But I taught my children to honor and respect people in places of authority, police, military, politicians, and to honor that flag. A lot of people died so you can sit here today. And I will not watch a athlete that will not say Pledge of Allegiance. Now, you go and you watch the NFL if you want to, but they're destroying our country. Those people are destroying our country, and you paying them their salary. They're making $200 million a year. I just heard on the radio the other day, there's one coming to the Charlotte Knights or Panthers or something. They're going to pay him over $200 million for a contract. There's nobody in this country worth $200 million to throw or catch a ball. I told a little old boy, At QT. Me and my wife went in there the other day and got some hot dogs. Best hot dogs in the world are at QT. You don't like them, don't eat them. I love them. You don't know what's in them, don't care. Make them out of sawdust. I don't care, they're good. And when we went in, there was a sign on the door that said assistant manager starting, I think it was $42,500 a year. We paid for our hot dogs, and I looked at him, and he was assistant manager. I said, man, y'all make pretty good, $42,500 a year. I said, they don't pay public school teachers or Baptist preachers that much. He said, you're right, it's a shame, ain't it? Of course, he didn't offer to give me nothing. I said, pay for it. The liberals and leftists have taken over almost, if not all, higher education, right, including Christian, yeah, higher education. You send somebody to the seminary now, you might as well send them to the cemetery. They're going to destroy their faith. They cry freedom of conscience unless you devote yourself to think holy and Christ-like. They cry freedom of the press unless it's a Christian press putting publishing Christian ideals into the public. They cry freedom to dress but unless we have freedom to dress any way we want to unless you say something about modesty. They cry freedom to love who you want until you say one man for one woman for life, the Bible says. Yes. Amen. They cry freedom of choice and give the unborn no choice. They cry we're Christians until you start teaching the thou shalt nots of the Bible. I told you it's going to be quick. Also look out for these liberal Christians who cry liberty and freedom from the Judeo-Christian ethics, and they're actually doing what Paul said. They use their liberty as a cloak for sin. Well, you can't tell us what to do. You're a legalist. No, there are some thou shalt nots. And I don't care if you're Christian or not, there's still some thou shalt nots. You didn't get liberty to live any way you want to. You got liberty to serve God. I mean, by the way, your liberty in America is not liberty to live any way you want to. Your liberty is here so that others can live free too. Amen. The day's close at hand, I think, when there'll be Christian martyrs in America. Yes. I'll tell you how to see it. Get you a Bible and a bullhorn and go down here to Charleston, one of these big cities, and start preaching Jesus on the street, and the sodomites and the liberals will come over there and throw rocks at you in the town. I saw a video where in Flint, Michigan, the police come and escorted some preachers off the street because the Muslims were throwing rocks and bottles at them and saying they was going to kill them. The police had to come rescue them, take them off. Say not what we can do, but what can I do to make it better, to save America. Folks, I don't know if you notice it or not. I know you don't if you stay at home and watch TV all the time, but we're in a battle.
Amen. Yes.
And I'm not talking about Trump or making America great. America's never been no greater than the pulpits and the homes of America. You can have lots of jobs and still not be great. You can have lots of money and not be great. Amen. What's your home life? What's your church like? Many times in history, one person saved a nation. Think about this. David was a teenager with a slingshot.
Yes.
Shamgar was a judge in Israel with a stick, and he killed 600 Philistines for Israel. Esther was a godly young woman, and with the help of Mordecai, and she risked her life by going before a heathen king to ask something for the children of Israel. She risked her life. Jonah saved the city of millions by preaching a one-sentence sermon as he walked through the city. Repent, the end is near. Amen. Get back to God. Get right with God. One-sentence sermon, and he saved, by the way, there was estimated at least 1 million people in that city. And he walked down the street, and he preached one sermon, and he saved the street. Jesus said, you're the salt of the earth, and salt not only affects flavor, but it also has healing properties. Yes. Listen to this. One man in Chicago, now I've been there, one man in Chicago named Mr. Kimball in the 1800s, he had a young teenage boy Sunday school class. And he got to missing a little boy, and he went down to visit him, and his name was Dwight. And Dwight worked at a little shoe store. I've seen the shoe store. Dwight worked there for his mama because he was too bad to stay at home. They sent him to his uncle to live with him. Now, Dwight didn't want to go to Sunday school. So he laid out. But Mr. Kimball went down there to the store where he knew he worked. And just after a little while, after he walked in and began to talk to Dwight, Dwight received Christ. And Dwight L. Moody was his name. And Dwight L. Moody turned Chicago after he got older. He started preaching, never was ordained, never was even licensed. He started preaching, and he turned the city of Chicago upside down for Jesus. They built a church. And I've been in that church. It'll seat 5,000 people. They have no sound system. It's built out all out of wood. It's made in such a way that somebody at the back can hear you just stand here talking. And Dwight L. Moody is estimated led 1 million people to Christ. One man did that though. Dwight L. Moody didn't do that. That one man, that Sunday school teacher did that. Later on, Mr. Moody won a man named F.B. Meyer. And some of y'all have his book on prayer. He wrote hundreds of books. He was a great Baptist preacher. Later on, FBI won J. Wilbur Chapman. Again, a great preacher, wrote many books. Later on, Chapman hired a young Christian man named Billy Sunday to help him put up his tent and take it down in his tent ministry. Billy Sunday became a great evangelist, and while in Charlotte, North Carolina, Billy Sunday won a man named Mordecai Ham to the Lord, who became a great Baptist evangelist. Mordecai Ham became an evangelist, and while he was preaching revival, he won a young man named Billy Graham to the Lord. Now this is all because one man went to visit an absentee in his Sunday school class, and he got D.L. Moody saved, and then D.L. Moody got another one, and he got another one, and he got another one, and he got another one. They just won one at a time and influenced one at a time. You know, you can make a difference in America by yourself. I thank God for military. I thank God for the police and government officials. But you know what? The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. You know what? That daddy that gets up and goes to work every day and pays the bills and buys the food and keeps a roof over those youngins' head, he changes America. You say, I'm not a preacher. I'm not a teacher. Well, listen to this. One cold, snowy night in England, a young teen decided to go to church. It was so cold and snowing, there was only a handful of people at that church. The preacher didn't even show up. They asked a faithful man in the church to come give them a message, and because one faithful man in the church that we don't even know the name of shared the word, a 15-year-old boy received Christ that night. That boy's name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He later surrendered to preach, never went to a seminary, and he did all his own studying, but as a young man, he turned England back to God. There were so many that came to his churches later on. He took a church, and it was falling apart in the poor side of town, and there were so many come to hear him preach the gospel, they remodeled it to seat 20,000 people. and he had to ask his church members to stay home on Sunday morning because so many visitors were traveling so far by horse and buggy and walking to hear the gospel, and so many were being saved, there was no room for the church members to sit. So he said, y'all just come Sunday night, I'll preach to you. I'll tell you what one can do. Billy Sunday stumbled into a mission one night. I've been to that mission, the Pacific Garden Mission. He stumbled in there drunk one night, a baseball player. He received Christ in the early 1900s and brought America back to God, and was the main speaker and promoter of Prohibition. Amen. By the way, I don't care what Hollywood tells you about Prohibition. It was a wonderful thing. Some daddy was at home with his youngins instead of down at the bar wasting the money every night. Amen. Some mama was there with her baby instead of wasting the money she bought milk. Amen. America was on the brink of destruction, and Billy Sunday brought it back to God. God used one man. Amen. Billy Sunday never went to seminary, never went to Bible college.
That's right.
He never took a course. He just stood up from the day he got saved. He stood up and started preaching Jesus, him crucified and resurrected. And when he would go to a town, the towns couldn't hold the crowds, because the biggest auditoriums back then would hold 2,000 or 3,000 people. And they would actually bring a sawmill out in a big fairgrounds or something. And they would bring wood in, and they would cut that rough, raw wood, and they tacked together a tabernacle right there and put a roof on it that would hold 20,000 or 30,000 people that would come to hear him preach. And he'd stand on the pulpit and break liquor bottles and beer bottles and preach, get on the water wagon, and millions of people were saved because of him. One man. The text we just read, there's a difference between these two kinds of believers. Lot was a believer. God spared him. Both were believers. Abraham wanted to please God. Abraham could talk to God. Abraham could persuade God. Abraham cared about others. Abraham pleaded for others. Abraham sacrificed for others. Abraham loved and led his family himself. Didn't count on the preacher to do it. Lot was the opposite. He loved himself more than he loved God. He loved himself more than he loved his family. He loved himself more than he loved others. He never sacrificed or shared a stinking thing. It was all about him. Lot went to Sodom. He fit right in. He became a leader. He never told his family about God in word or deed. Not one time. None of them. He had no concern for his family falling under the influence of wicked people. He had no concern of the judgment of God falling and the fire burning the whole city. Until it was too late. He went to his son-in-law and said, listen, God's fixing to rain fire down on this place and going to burn it. And they laughed at him, made fun of it. And they said, who made you a preacher? Yeah. You ain't ever preached before. They laughed at him. They had to drag his daughters out. They didn't believe it either. He never witnessed to the people around him. He never had one convert. He never had anybody that come to know God because of him, his ways, or his words. He never stood for anything but himself. Sound like our Baptist churches, doesn't it? There's some in this room today who consider themselves like Abraham, but you're a whole lot like Lot. Preacher, I can't believe you said that. It's my job. I don't want to be like Lot. I want to tell people. I want to be like John the Baptist. Amen. You've been saved for years. You're not responsible for helping anyone else get to heaven, not even your own family. Let me ask you something. How can you live in a house with people going to hell and never say a word? How can you ride off on Sunday morning knowing that you're going to be in the presence of a holy God and he's going to give you joy and peace, and you don't take anybody out of that house with you? How do you do that? You say, well, my youngins won't do that. There's still switches. There's still trees. There's still switches. You still got a belt.
Yes.
Oh, that's awful, preacher. That's child. No, it's not child abuse. The Bible teaches us we're to discipline our children. And you let them sit there on that stinking phone and watch videos that you have no idea what they're watching. And they watch YouTube and you have no idea what they're watching. And they got the headphones on listening to some of the ungodliest music you ever heard. It would embarrass you, and yet you let them listen to this because you're afraid to hurt their feelings and make them mad at you. I stayed mad at my mama when I was young. Didn't you? I say, you can't. I can. You can't. I can. All right, go ahead and try it. That's what she'd tell me. But Lot, he didn't care about his daughters. Let me ask you something. How did they marry ungodly, strange people like two men of Sodom? If he really cared about them, he'd have brought them to God, not the financial capital of the world.
Amen.
I imagine he thought he was doing them a good thing. He's going to teach them how to make a good living, this rich, prosperous city with rich, prosperous people. I know they're a little strange and they're perverted in their sexual persuasions and they hate the Bible and things like this, but I want my children to have more than I had when I grew up. By the way, that line's going to send more children to hell than any other, any sodomite or any drunk in town. That line will send more children to hell than any other line. Right there. Because what you didn't have is what made you what you are. You ever thought about that? Everything you are is a culmination of everything you went through. Well, you don't know how bad my daddy was to me. Yeah, but look at it now. In Christ, it's helped you in Christ. Well, you don't know how strict my parents were. Well, you might not be alive if they hadn't been. And it's helping you now. But a lot of people like Lot hope there's an Abraham in church that will intervene for them and their children when judgment falls. See, a lot of people in church, they're just hoping that when judgment falls, the preacher will be there. Because they've not taught their children how to go through anything or how to avoid anything. And they just let it go because they want to hurt their feelings or make them mad at them. Most everybody here hate you. More than once in your life, you told your parents, I hate you. And the reason was because your flesh hated them. But now you look back on it and you think, I'm glad my mama was a godly woman. She
Amen.
Didn't hear what I said.
Yes.
You like Lot, hope there's Abraham somewhere in church that'll get between your family and your children, your husband or your wife and God and pray God from sending them what they deserve. When really, according to the Bible, that's your job. With Lot, it's like Mama used to say, the chickens have come home to roost. God hates sin. God judges sin. Nobody's going to get by with sin. We know that. We know judgment was going to fall because of the wickedness of Sodom. We know that. Lot knew that. Wouldn't you think that Lot would know that? He was raised in the right family. But because of Lot, God counted the only one just in that whole city, the nephew of the great Abraham, because of him. Now listen to me, judgment fell. But let me ask you, Brother Ron, what if he'd have won 10? God said judgment wouldn't fall. What if Lot had done his job and won his daughters and his his son-in-laws and probably grandchildren? No, they didn't have no children. But suppose he won his own wife. And then suppose they just won their immediate friends. Surely there would have been 10 or 20 people saved in the city. And that's what Abraham was thinking. As sorry a believer as Lot is, surely he's won 10. So we could say Lot shared in the fault of the destruction of Sodom. Now see, most Americans are waiting for somebody else to get right with God so God will save America. But if it falls, let me tell you something. Those who did not try to get to God, those who did not live for God, those who did not reach others for God, the blame is going to be on you.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, you like to hear the preacher preach it, but how much do you preach it? Just one man could have influenced and won 9 people and stopped the destruction of millions of people. Just one general refused to hear the warning of the Japanese coming to Pearl Harbor, and they destroyed Pearl Harbor because one man refused to listen, thought it was impossible. Just one man on a horse rode all night warning people that the British were coming. Paul Revere was his name, and it turned the revolution. Just one man, Patrick Henry, gave a 5-minute speech to the Continental Congress in 1776 that ended with "Give me liberty or give me death," which ended all the debate and roused all that were present to sign the Declaration of Independence, knowing it was going to cost them everything, even their lives. You say, "Well, preacher, what can I do to save America?" Well, you can get saved yourself. You can get baptized yourself. Hey, you can get thoroughly right with God yourself. You can't do anything until you get God on your side. I hear these people, and don't get me wrong, I'm going to vote the same way this coming time I did last time to the ones that's turned it all around. But I see things on Facebook. Y'all listen to me, young people on that back row. Look up here. I see stuff on Facebook, and these people that call themselves patriotic Americans, and they'll do all that stuff, and then they'll put cuss words in there. And I think, you're not the answer to this problem. You're one of the problems. Amen. You need to get thoroughly right with God and man. And man. Live right. Talk right. Dress right. Go to church. Get involved. You say, "Well, I'm not a Sunday school teacher." Well, I'm not a fireman, but I know what to do when the house is on fire.
Amen.
You know how to tell people about Jesus. Throw some water on them. The Word of God. Amen. I wish we could get some people at the burden and they'd fill up a car for Sunday school. You run around this country criticizing young people for not going to Sunday school. You don't take them to church.
Come on, bro.
I wish we could get somebody that would just win one. There's probably, I don't know, there might be 100 people in a day. If we all won one, there'd be 200 next week. And they all won one, and we won one. It'd go on from hundreds to thousands in just a few weeks. See, the problem is most Christians are like Lot. They're enjoying the prosperity and the blessings of God that they inherited through their family and things like that. And they just don't do anything. Here's what you can do. Win the people that's in your house.
Amen.
You said, "They'll get mad at me." Well, they're going to get mad at you over something else. And then I'll tell you what else you can do. You can win the ones that's in your Sunday school class. Church member, you can win the ones that's in here today. Everybody in here ain't saved today. Let's don't fool ourselves into thinking that.
Right. Come on, bro.
Then you can win another and win another. What about those people you work with and you go to school with and they're going to hell and they need a Savior? Win them. And listen, that's saved America before. You know, The church is a mission field now that we go to every week. There's lost people in church. They look pretty good, and they sound pretty good, and they dress pretty good, and they behave pretty well, but they've never been regenerated in their heart. So therefore, they see no urgency for others to be regenerated. My wife just retired, and I know it's late. And Becky still works, and Rachel, they teach school. And you want to blame everything on the school and the school teacher. Their job is to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's your job to raise those children. It's your job to get them to Christ. Well, we need to get Bible study back into school. It was there when most of us that were lost and going to hell was going there, and it didn't help us a bit because we didn't have it at home. That school's a reflection of our nation, our homes.
Yes.
That government is a reflection of our homes. If we could just get, he said, Lord, 50? 40? Well, Lord, what about 30? Well, Lord, now don't get mad at me, but if you could just find 10, would you save it for 10? You know, if we could get 10 people in this church thoroughly right with God, we'd turn this town upside down. Amen. Jesus did it with 12. 11, really. One killed himself. Jesus turned the world upside down with 11 men. 11. Not 100. Now, you can be an American and not be a Christian, but you'd be a whole lot better American if you were a Christian.
Amen.
And we Christians will love you if you're not a Christian. And we'll honor you as an American if you're not a Christian. And we'll fight for your right to be that way. We'll crawl in a ditch with Jehovah Witness and fight with him to be free just like we fought to be free. That's a national thing. But wouldn't it be a shame to lay in that ditch and fight for freedom and let him go to hell and you go to heaven? Are you a Lot? Or are you an Abraham? And I went way over my time. Now you come back tonight. I really need to talk. I really need you to be here tonight. It's really serious. Really serious. For your church and you and your family and everything. I'm serious now. Come back tonight. But today you may need to make a decision. Am I going to be a Lot? Or am I going to be an Abraham? Let's stand.